Welcome to another episode of Self Carved. Ivana Vlitic, your host, is here with another episode. And today we are talking about Love is Blind. We're going to be talking about the latest season, but we're specifically going to be looking at certain attachment patterns. I'm not a reality TV person, junkie. But I do think Love is Blind is interesting. It's fascinating. It's an experiment. And also, everything I watch for educational purposes. I think to myself, what can I learn from this? And how can I pull necessary lessons or things that people may not see? They may not be able to read between the lines. And how can I utilize that to help people? So a big thing I noticed, especially in Love is Blind, we're not going to discuss everything, of course, is the fact that so many people that join the show talk about their past. They talk about red flags. It seems like they're super, super aware of what's gone wrong before, and they are pretty self-aware. And they're coming to the show ready to meet like-minded people. They're ready to break their patterns and pick someone else. But what I've seen over and over again, and what you have noticed most likely, is that majority of them continue to perpetuate their trauma. They continue to make the same bad choices. Not everyone, but a big portion of the participants. So I think since it's been a big topic on the internet, everywhere, we can talk about Chelsea and Jimmy, for example, or Chelsea and Trevor even. Chelsea, is displaying a anxious attachment style? We are seeing that she has big reactions. Okay, and she talks about it as well. She feels big, like she has big emotions. The problem is not feeling big or having big emotions. But what we do want to learn is how to regulate our emotions, how to be emotionally intelligent. I feel big too. A lot of my clients feel enormously as well. It's not about that. It is about regulating ourselves and being able to find peace within. But at the same time, also having a resilient, a flexible nervous system, which comes with the somatic work that we do, if we do it right. This is one of the main focus points in my Worthy membership. A lot of people think that learning to regulate your nervous system is all about learning how to be calm, how to feel safe all the time. But really, nervous system regulation is about creating that sense of resilience so you can stretch your nervous system, so you can basically take more, but you can still choose not to. How do I put that in a different way? Being able to take more doesn't mean you take more abuse or you continue to be in situations that are not healthy for you. No, instill boundaries, right? Taking more is about being able to having discomfort, dealing with discomfort, having difficult conversations, being able to breathe through things that in the past would have triggered you so bad that you would have had to yell or run away, right? So learning how to stretch your nervous system is making you a more well-rounded human being in general, and it's bringing more stability, peace, joy, flexibility to your life. So again, I want to point that out. The problem is not that Chelsea is feeling a lot or she's feeling big. And again, this is nothing. This is not like bashing Chelsea or being a fan of her. This is just us using her as an example to demonstrate what happens, or to kind of use her as an example of an attachment style. So it kind of, you know, transfers to you and things makes a little more sense. The logical choice for her, for example, would have been Trevor, right? Based on what we're seeing, we're not seeing everything. But what I have talked about over and over again is that your attachment pattern Your patterns determine what you're seeking. What you're seeking. You may tell yourself, I want someone who's safe, someone who's stable, someone who's honest, someone who is kind. You may say all these things to yourself, and consciously this is what you want. But if you have not faced the shadow you, if you have not gotten to know your inner child and healed her, if you don't understand your attachment style, how to navigate it and how it affects you in your life, then the subconscious mind will continue to make these decisions for you, because your subconscious mind has not yet been programmed to be aligned with what you want on a conscious level. This is why we do the inner work. This is why we need to heal internally. And this is why we have to create a different set of beliefs. And also even look at our values. Like, what are we truly valuing? Because if your foundation is one thing, but you're saying that your desires is something else, you're going to continue to create the same old thing. And then you're going to continue to say, oh, all men are the same, or all women are the same. This is just trash. It used to be better before, and so on and so forth. But what you have to understand is that what you're seeing in your life and the experiences you've had are a result of the primary patterns that you have subconsciously. What is it that you're running from, or what is it that you're looking to fill? A need that you're looking to fill, or a fear you're wanting to escape, right? So in Chelsea's example, you can see how she continuously is seeking validation. She's continuously seeking validation, and she's often overlooking her gut response or her intuition, right? And she asks the same thing over and over again. Even though she gets a response, she'll ask again. She'll continue to ask, because she most likely grew up in a household where she was the emotional caregiver of other people, and she learned to put her needs last, right? So she highly likely developed people-pleasing tendencies. So for a people pleaser, it's extremely important to make sure the people around you are satisfied, are happy, because if they're not, it says something about you and your worth, and you want to make sure it's not that, because if it is that, you're going to try to fix it, because the mindset is, I need to prove myself, I need to make myself worthy, like I am here for this person. And although this sounds somewhat cute, sweet, maybe for many people, or it sounds like very sacrificial, when you're coming from anything but unconditional love, when you're coming from a wounded state, you're actually being selfish, because you are wanting to please someone in hopes to get something back. But love has no conditions, right? And it's the same thing for someone who has an avoidance attachment style, for example. They pull away. They are more selfish. They allow you to do things for them that they maybe should do themselves, that would help them grow as a person, right? So it creates this codependent relationship. And what I find interesting with every Love is Blind season, and it doesn't matter which country, what country, is that people make comments about who would have been a matter, who would have been a better match, who a person should have chosen or been with instead. Like, this nice person should have been with this other nice person. But people who make these comments don't understand attachment patterns. It does not work. Two people pleasers don't really go together. A victim doesn't really go together with another victim. The victim goes with the who? With the savior. Okay, there has to be that dynamic exchange, unless two people are actually operating securely from a secure attachment style, or are very aware of their attachment patterns, and they can communicate that, and they can find ways to actually meet each other's needs and not have that toxic codependent relationship. We see this all the time in the world, where people are saying, oh, she should have been with him, or he should have been with her. It does not work that way, because subconsciously we're looking to escape something or receive something. And if you are, for example, a people pleaser, being with another people pleaser, you're constantly going to try to please each other. It's like, that's not the dynamic. A bully is not going to try to go bully someone who is not repressed. They're not going to go to the loud person, the cocky person, the popular person. They're going to look for the person who's a little more quiet, who's a little more shy, who is a little more repressed, okay? But what everybody has in common is that deep down, people feel insecure. People are dealing with their own demons. People have low self-esteem. They're questioning their worthiness. And they're placing their worth in other people's hands. Okay, and we see this over and over again. And I said this in a post last week. It's crazy to see how many hateful comments people are writing, not only on Chelsea's page, but I scanned through it because I wanted to see. So I'm using that as an example. On her post, like comments that are just insane. Like, you need to get a therapist. What's wrong with you? It's cringy. It's this, it's that. It makes me throw up the way you act. But in reality, everything is an extension of you. Everybody's like you pushed out, in a sense. Everybody's mirroring to you what's going on inside of you. Like, I can observe that Chelsea has an anxious attachment style without getting angry, without getting disgusted, without feeling the need to say hurtful things to her or to belittle her, which is horrible in itself as a woman, right? But her behavior is triggering so much in other women that it's insane. It's just interesting to watch. Like, I pray for her mental health, but I also pray for women who put other women down because it needs to stop. Like, the solution to help someone is not to tell them what they're doing wrong, and it's not to tell them they need to go to therapy. The solution to help the world is by being the example yourself, right? And positively impacting and influencing the people in your life, walking by example, leading by example, okay? So that definitely needs to stop. And the people that are so strongly reacting to her are people who, it's not like a conscious thing of I'm not like her, or like, oh, we don't want this. It's more so a trigger internally. It's a trigger that reminds a person of every time they have forgotten about their worth, every time they have disregarded their needs, every time they've made the wrong choice, every time they've overlooked things, every time they've sought validation from the wrong person, every time they literally haven't valued themselves. So it's not about Chelsea. It's not about her attachment style. It's about what her behavior is triggering within another person. So the biggest lesson we can pull from that is to look at our own attachment patterns. How many situations have I found myself in that are the exact same replica almost as the last situation or the last person, the last relationship, where I've thought things are going to be different, where I've told myself I'm not going to accept this, I'm not going to do this, and you've found yourself in the same situation over and over and over again. And Chelsea mentioned she's been to therapy. She's done a lot of work. And I've had so many clients I've coached. Majority of my clients are at least like 20 years older than me, usually 30 even. That's a wide range. My youngest client was 16 and the oldest one is like 68, I believe. So many of my clients have shared with me how they spent 20, 30 years in therapy, 10 years in therapy, 5 years in therapy, and they did not achieve what they achieved with me in a shorter period of time. This is not to brag or put anything down. This is just to put into perspective that not everything works for a person. Not every therapist is a good fit for a person. Not everything that someone shares or teaches or provides is going to be working for you. Okay, so it's not about what we do. It's not about going to therapy. It's about working with the right therapist and getting the therapy treatment that works for you. It's not about working with a coach. It's about working with the right coach that works for you, who's going to be able to steer you in the right direction, ask you the right questions. It's supposed to be a coach or a therapist who are somatic practitioners who understand that emotions, that trauma is stuck in our body and that needs to be released, who understand attachment patterns, who can help you bring out the answers out of you to rewire your subconscious mind so you can actually make a shift in your everyday life where your desires are actually aligned with what's going on beneath the surface. Because this is why we continue to play out our patterns, because we do not heal our attachment wounds. We do not heal that. We don't learn how we function. We don't get to know ourselves. We don't reparent our inner child. And therefore, the same thing happens, continues to happen over and over and over and over again. There needs to be a shift. When that shift happens and you change your identity and you step up in a different way, in a different light, you won't function the way you used to function before. And all those people you talk about, you won't talk about them anymore because they won't have any room in your life. So it's not so much about what we're attracting, it's more about what we're choosing. Because yes, we do attract what we focus on, and we do attract the lack of what we lack as well. But more so, we do have the power of choice that if we do attract something that is not unhealthy for us, we can choose not to be a part of that. But if insecurity, if trauma, if attachment wounding is controlling our lives and we don't understand how that functions, we haven't done the necessary shadow work to understand ourselves, it's not about needing to be perfectly healed. It's about understanding ourselves, understanding our patterns, understanding our thought processes, understanding our beliefs, understanding the choices we made before. So then when something shows up again, we can see it for what it is. And we can say, this looks pretty similar to this. Maybe this is not for me, right? But if we don't do the work that works for us, right? Let me say that again. If we don't do the work that works for us, because everything is not going to work for you. And I tell my clients and Worthy that all the time in the membership. Everything that I share, every strategy, every technique, every tool may not be for you. Test it out. If it doesn't work for you, let me know. Let's find something that works for you. So when you do the work that works for you, you don't necessarily need to be perfectly healed, because this is a lifetime journey. Whether you want to call it healing, whether you want to call it growth, whether you want to call it alignment. I know healing has gotten a bad rep lately too, but healing literally means wholeness in Latin. So when you think of your healing journey, think of it as you returning to your state of wholeness. You knowing that you're whole and you're worthy just the way you are. And sure, it's important when you're dating, when you're in a relationship, to meet your partner's needs and vice versa. You need to learn how to co-regulate. And you also need to know how to self-regulate. Everything is about interdependence. This is not about you not needing anyone ever again. This is simply about not placing your worth in someone else's hands. Okay. So moving forward, think about that. How many times am I replaying the same patterns? Because I have not yet gotten to the point of understanding my attachment style. I haven't really gotten to know my inner child. I haven't broken my toxic patterns. I'm just focusing on what other people are doing wrong instead of really understanding myself. When we understand ourselves and we take responsibility for our reality, that is when real change can happen.